Buenas noches, you're listening to Radio Zapatista, Chiapas No Se Olvida, and we are broadcasting from the Mission District. Tonight we're going to have a show about the drug war. It's something that's been talked about in the media and by politicians in the United States, the place where the presence of Mexico is felt in a very significant and substantial way right now. So what we wanted to do tonight was address the way that the media and politicians are representing the drug war by looking critically at some newspaper articles, and then extrapolating from there to talk about the sort of organization of the drug war and the effects of this violence, as well as alternative solutions to the militarization, the social militarization that's being carried out both on the Mexican side and the United States side of the border. We're going to read some selections from two different news articles that appeared in the New York Times last month. The first article was published on March 23rd, and the title of the article is Mexican Drug Cartel Violence Spills Over, Alarming U.S. I'm just going to read a passage. It's dated, the dateline is from Tucson. It says, "This city, an hour's drive north of the Mexican border, is coping with a wave of drug crime the police suspect is tied to the bloody battles between Mexico's drug cartels and the efforts to stamp them out. Since officials here formed a special squad last year to deal with home invasions, they've counted more than 200 of them, with more than three-quarters linked to the drug trade. Tucson is hardly alone in feeling the impact of Mexico's drug cartels and their trade. In the past few years, the cartels and other drug trafficking organizations have extended their reach across the United States and into Canada. Law enforcement authorities say they believe traffickers distributing the cartel's marijuana, cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, and other drugs are responsible for a rash of shootings in Vancouver, British Columbia, kidnappings in Phoenix, brutal assaults in Birmingham, Alabama, and much more. Governor Rick Perry of Texas has asked for National Guard troops at the border. The Obama administration is completing plans to add federal agents along the border."
The second article also comes from the New York Times from March 26, and it's entitled "Clinton Says U.S. Feeds Mexico Drug Trade," and this is by Mark Landler. And it reads, "Seeking to ease a cross-border relationship strained by drug trafficking, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton arrived here Wednesday and offered the clearest acknowledgement yet from an Obama administration official of the role the United States plays in the violent narcotics trade in Mexico. 'Our insatiable demand for illegal drug fuels the drug trade,' Ms. Clinton said, using unusually blunt language. 'Our inability to prevent weapons from being illegally smuggled across the border to arm these criminals causes the deaths of police officers, soldiers, and civilians.' Ms. Clinton's remarks were coupled with a pledge that the administration would seek $80 million from Congress to provide Mexican authorities with 3 Black Hawk helicopters to help the police track drug runners. She also came bearing a new White House initiative announced Tuesday to deploy 450 more law enforcement officers at the border and crack down on the smuggling of guns and drug money into Mexico."
All right, we're going to listen to another song, and we'll be back in a minute to analyze this news that we just read.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the 10 crack commandments. One, two, three, four. Man, can't tell me nothing about this coke. Can't tell me nothing about this crack, this weed, my hustling niggas. Niggas on the corner, I ain't forget you niggas. My triple B niggas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I've been in this game for years. It made me an animal, it's rules to this shit. I wrote me a manual, a step by step booklet for you to get your game on track, not your wig pushed back. Rule number uno, never let no one know how much dough you hold, cause you know the trend to breed jealousy, especially if that man off up. Get your ass stuck up. Number two, never let them know your next move. Don't you know bad boys move in silence and violence, take it from your highness. I done squeeze mad clips at these cats for they bricks and chips. Number three, never trust nobody. Your mama said that his ass up properly gassed up.
So we're back, and now we're gonna take the program into a different direction, and we've synthesized at least 3 points from the articles. And the first point we're going to be looking at is looking at the evidence from the articles and the inherent contradictions of the facts they use to base the claims The drug cartels and the militarization of the border. The second point that we're going to be looking at is the actual externalization of violence, to where the U.S. media and politicians, in fact, externalize the violence, saying that it's only Mexico's problem, rather than actually really interrogating the issues on the United States front. And then lastly, how the U.S. media and specifically the U.S. politicians in their policies have used the warrant of more police will cure the drug problem, and that the increased military presence is the only answer.
We're going to start with the first point, which is to look at the evidence from the articles and to just question the facts that they're putting forth. A lot of the statistics that they're using, we think, are kind of problematic. And one of the ways that you can see this is just really even just reading the articles themselves, because data is proposed, and then later on in the article, some little statement or a little sentence slips out that sort of calls into question all the claims that are being made in that data. So, for example, from the March 23rd article from the New York Times, you know, they talk about how there's this massive wave of crime and violence happening in Arizona that's being funneled from the Mexican side of the border. But at the same time, buried down sort of in 5 pages into the article, there's a little paragraph that says that, this is a quote, "Tying the street-level violence in the United States to the cartels is difficult because the cartels typically distribute their illicit goods through a murky network of regional and local cells made up of Mexican immigrants and United States citizens. The cartels may have 10 cells in Chicago, and they may not even know each other," said Michael Braun, a former chief of operations for the DEA. So when even the DEA officials are saying that it's really almost impossible to figure out what these networks are, how are they going to know the presence of drug smugglers all over the place? There's another part in this article where they say they're talking about the number of cities in which drug crime has occurred. And they say that now there are 230 cities where this kind of crime has occurred. And it rose, they say that the number rose from 100 cities 3 years earlier. But then they say that the change in numbers may be not because of an actual increase in violence, but rather because of better data collection methods. So, you know, there's no evidence to suggest that the drug cartels themselves are what's provoking this violence.
If you look through a lot of the reporting that's been done on the drug cartels and specifically the drug war, what you find is a lot of these contradictions. And Laura Carlson, who works for the Center for International Policy, names this tactic as doublespeak. And she actually wrote a pretty extensive article on Counterpunch called "The Drug War Doublespeak." She writes this in her article: "Drug war doublespeak pervades and defines the U.S.-Mexico relationship today. The discourse aims not to win the war on drugs, but to assure funding and public support for the military model of combating illegal drug trafficking, despite the losses and overwhelming evidence that current strategies are not working." And the reason we bring this up is that if we look at a lot of the reporting, what we find is that the facts are slippery. So a lot of politicians and a lot of journalists are making claims with very shaky evidence that we know, being journalists and informed citizens, that through information, stereotypes, ideas, and perceptions are formed.
And the second point is that what Tyler was calling the shaky evidence, it's not just that they're like fudging a couple of the facts. What we're trying to analyze is the way that this use of shaky data feeds into a sort of media narrative that sensationalizes the violence in Mexico and sort of creates a situation in which it becomes possible for the U.S. government to give tons of military funding to Mexico, to militarize even further the U.S. border, to potentially even send National Guard troops, i.e. the army, down to protect the border against sort of these invasions that are coming from Mexico. So we're not trying to say that like their reporting is bad and that that's really what the problem is. The problem isn't that the numbers are wrong. The problem is that the numbers being wrong are then used to further a political cause. And that's what we're trying to tease out. And that's what we're going to move on to in the next point.
"So y'all don't do no drugs?"
No, we don't want to take drugs, thanks.
"No drugs?"
No, thanks.
Come on, man. You don't do no drugs.
I'm so high.
Come on,
yeah. I'm so high.
Yeah. One time.
I'm so
they call
high.
Me Mr. Hustler. See me around the way every day, the smoke juggler, the coke bubbler. You know, I get you high if you give me a dough. I'm only trying to get you to put your nose 3 feet deep in the snow. Get a whiff of this real good green weed without any seeds. Get a sniff of this vitamin C, OKE. Take a puff of this opium, gotta leave your mind blown, grown from Colombian seeds. Come
so what
on.
About smoke?
I got it.
Coke?
I got it.
What about hex?
I got it.
What about dope?
I got it. Whitney's chilling, Bobby's chilling. Let's get high because we love the feeling.
You take my advice, you will try one.
We got red ones, green ones, blue ones, white ones.
Take my advice, you will try one.
Now we're going to go into our second point, the actually externalization of violence. So what we mean by externalization of violence is that the framework that many media organizations and companies are taking is that the only the problem is with Mexico. Mexico is the kind of halfway developed state that can't deal with its own crime, the drug cartels, and then the violence that is happening.
So this is not to deny, of course, that there is a lot of violence happening in Mexico. The best available evidence, we've been questioning the data, but it seems like the best data suggests that at least 10,000 people have been killed since Felipe Calderón, or Fecal, as we like to call him, took office in 2006. That's a lot of people, and that's definitely true, and we don't want to in any way sort of overlook or ignore that or minimize its importance. The problem is when the media starts to use that argument in order to project an image onto sort of Mexico as the source of all problems and the source of all dangers. And that changes the way that we try to deal in the United States with the problem. Because if the problem doesn't exist in the United States, if there's no problem in the United States, then what's the logical solution? Well, the logical solution would be to arm and fortify our borders in order to prevent the contamination of our society by their society. And that's something that we're going to address in the next point. That's really the main reason why this is problematic, because not because the violence isn't happening, but because it shapes the way that we think in this country and it shapes the way that policy is made.
We also have to bring up the point in looking at how we actually, our relationship with Mexico and how we view the border, we also have to bring up the issue of immigration. And the way many conservatives look at immigration is that it's Mexico's problem, or Mexico needs to deal with the problem that their economy supposedly is so bad that they can't handle the workforce. And so then people, because the U.S. is on such high standards or has such a better economy, people are actually crossing the border to find work. We need to, of course, have a little bit more complicated understanding of that, because with NAFTA and with neoliberalism, you find a deregulation of society. So it's Mexico's influence on, or sorry, the U.S.'s influence on the state of Mexico, where a lot of U.S. companies are subsidizing companies in Mexico and taking away a lot of the job opportunities of local businesses, local agriculture. It's actually a deregulation of jobs, so jobs are actually being taken up from these U.S. companies rather than giving to the people.
And I would wonder if the way that people today are talking about drugs, the language that conservative commentators in particular, but also, you know, the Obama administration as well, are the language that they're using to talk about drugs is the same kind of language that they have used in order to talk about immigrants, i.e. drugs themselves, which are illegal goods or illegal commodities, get mapped onto immigrants who are illegal people or maybe just illegal commodities for certain kinds of people, and that sort of they're subject to the same forms of discrimination and criminalization, the people that the drugs are.
So in all this, we do have to acknowledge the moves of the Obama administration in trying to deal or cope or find solutions to this problem. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton actually takes ownership that the U.S. hasn't done their part in to actually find weapons and stop the actual smuggling of weapons across the border. But at the same time, she uses this information or uses this claim to actually say that the answer would be to give $80 million from Congress to provide Mexican authorities with 3 Black Hawk helicopters and also to deploy 450 more law enforcement officers to the border. And explicitly in that is saying, well, the only answer to this problem is to arm the border and to use military violence as the only way to stop the drug trafficking. So we're going to go to musical break, but then after this we're actually going to examine why is it that the only answer that the Obama administration and the general public discourse is to arm the border and to militarize the border.
This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
We're back here on Radio Zapatista, and we've arrived to the third point of our synthesis of the media coverage of the war on drugs. And the quote that Tyler was just reading from Hillary Clinton sort of takes a big step in the sense that it acknowledges that there's a problem here, like that guns are coming from here and that there's a demand for drugs in the U.S. But she somehow, for some reason, can't incorporate that recognition or that acknowledgement in any way that would sort of affect the policy. And she continues to sort of advocate the exact same kind of policy, favoring the war on drugs and the militarization of the war on drugs, sending down helicopters, sending down troops to the border. It's fortifying the border, militarizing the border, you know, even giving military support to Mexico. So what we're going to talk about in this section, this third point, is militarization. Why is it that the only solution that people can dream up to the drug problem is militarization? And we've talked about, you know, the rhetorical strategies that are used in order to make militarization seem like the only possible solution. What we're going to talk a little bit about now, too, is some of the history, the recent history, that's created the scenario of a militarized drug war in Mexico.
The Obama administration has found itself kind of picking up some of the pieces that were left by the Bush administration. One of these things is actually called the Merida Initiative. And this initiative really, I think, defines the relationship between Mexico and the U.S. This Merida Initiative was actually created through the Bush administration in 2007. And it came into effect, it was actually 2006, but came into effect in 2007. And the Merida Initiative was modeled off of Plan Colombia, so it was nothing new, but it actually came and it's mirrored off of Plan Colombia, which if we research that, we know that a lot of the policies actually have failed with Plan Colombia. They came up, Bush and Felipe Calderon, right when Felipe Calderon came into office, and they sat down and they talked about what could they do around drug trafficking and the violence that was created by the cartels. And Bush came up with four goals, and these goals were the following: break power of criminal organizations or drug cartels, assist in strengthening maritime control or assist in strengthening the actual control of the borders and drug trafficking, improve capacity of justice systems, and then diminish the need for the use and dissemination of drugs. And what we find interesting is that there's no talk of the actual U.S. taking accountability and actually coming up with goals for their own front, but it was more just looking at the goals for Mexico.
Part of the Merida Initiative also provided, in addition to these, or as part of the four goals, I think about $400 million worth of military aid was supplied to the Mexican Army. That, as I mentioned before, it came in the form of military equipment and also training from the U.S. military. And, you know, we at Radio Zapatista, we're always skeptical of military aid, particularly that goes to the Mexican Army, because we know that the Mexican Army has been used to attack and crack down on Mexican civil society in, you know, recent years, and particularly increasingly. We know that from examples in Chiapas, sort of helicopters, for example, that have been earmarked by the United States for combating drugs are used in incursions against the Zapatistas, for example. Or when paramilitaries or the army invade Zapatista communities claiming to have found drug plantations, marijuana plantations. And so drugs become the justification, the sort of ex post facto justification for incursions in Zapatista territory and violence against social movements and indigenous populations in Chiapas, for example. And we think that's happening all over Mexico now, increasingly since Calderón took office, because of the militarization of Mexican society. If you, John Gibler, who's a reporter who's done a lot of research on the drug war, he mentioned recently that along the border in Ciudad Juarez, for example, the Mexican army is fulfilling all the policing, the civil policing duties. For example, driving around in police cars and giving tickets. So, you know, we're really talking about a widespread and deep, sort of far-reaching militarization of Mexican civil society and society in general.
Another thing with the Merida Initiative is that although there's these four goals sound wonderful on paper, there actually wasn't necessarily a strategy or accountability of making sure, one, how are you going to reach these goals, but also what tactics are you going to use. So what you find is that these, for instance, the second goal, assistance strengthening maritime control, this translates in simply the U.S. giving more weapons and helicopters to fight an economy or an underground economy that at least brings in about $30 billion a year. And the second thing, the third goal, would improve capacity of the justice system. All that has turned out to be is not necessarily violence has stopped, but more arrests have been given. So you have more people in jail, but nothing has really changed. This is interesting because if you actually look at some of the statistics between 2007 and 2008, the year after this initiative came into place, the net cultivation of opium and cannabis in Mexico increased, production of opium, gum, heroin, and cannabis all increased, and meanwhile the seizures of opium, gum, heroin, and methamphetamines all decreased significantly. And then the destruction of labs fell by nearly half. In addition, the report notes drug use among Mexican youth is rising. So all of the facts actually prove that this initiative has failed. The one thing that it has done, though, because of the militarization, is that it has increased violence. And this, if you look at the statistics, 2007, the numbers were approximately 2,500 narco-related deaths, and the figures for 2008 were 6,290. This shows you that the violence has actually increased by 50% since this initiative actually came into play in 2007. So, of course, this violence is predictable. When you fight violence with violence, all you get is more violence. And I think that that goes on to our next point, is that we have to find alternatives rather than just using violence to combat violence. So we're going to go to musical break, and then we'll be back with the last part of the show. And when I think of every girl I'm with, coming like the fox, and I'm going like the list, my friends. Gang of my villains, one of them's in a bright house, and five, they need some stimulation.
Drag me, drag me, drag me, drag me. I'm swimming by the sail, get the world where they call me, feel they make my time go by.
We're back at Radio Zapatista, and we're finally moving on to the last point that we wanted to talk about tonight, which is that, you know, obviously, as Tyler was mentioning, the militarization strategy has failed. So we have to think about alternatives, and alternative, not only alternative policies, but one of the things that I keep coming back to in the show is that it's not only a question of policy, it's how we think of the problem, how the problem is imagined or conceived of. And, you know, if the problem is imagined as a 100% Mexican problem, that the violence is in Mexico and that we're okay over here, then, you know, there's never going to be any solution to anything. And not violence, not drug use, not the economy in Mexico, not corruption in Mexico. None of this stuff is ever going to be resolved. And so what we've been trying to point out is the way that the media talks about, the way that the language the media uses and the language politicians use to talk about the drug war issue implies that the solution has to be this one solution, while discounting these other solutions.
There's many different solutions besides just arming the border and militarizing the border with more National Guard, with more Border Patrol, and with more surveillance systems. Now, if we look at what Laura Carlson is doing with the Center for International Policy, she actually advises three different things that are alternatives to militarizing the border. And the first thing she states is that both governments stop placing blame on the other and recognize that the issues, it's actually a transnational issue, so we're not blaming them or they're blaming us, that we're both taking an accountability of what's going on in their home front. The second thing is stop contracting private defense firms and put healthcare back into the equation. I can't tell you, doing some research on this, how much money is going towards defense firms such as Boeing or IBM or Lockheed Martin. And it's pretty interesting because it's actually that a lot of local politicians around border towns are actually soliciting these private investment firms because it actually brings federal dollars into their districts. So if the Obama administration were to prioritize healthcare and bring in actually healthcare programs and federal dollars through healthcare programs rather than through private defense firms, I think the whole equation would change. The second thing is that, in referencing what Dan was thinking earlier, of actually how we think of drugs and criminals or illegal people or whatever, is that we actually treat addicts as patients and not criminals. So we decriminalize those folks who are addicted to drugs, and we set up actually prevention programs and rehabilitation centers throughout the country. And the last point that Carlson brings up in her article is the debate around legalization. And we can't get into the whole debate for this show, but clearly we know that as of right now, things aren't working. To finish up the show, we just have one announcement, and it reads as follows. Join Communities for a Better Environment for our first annual Love Your Mama Environmental Justice Earth Day celebration in East Oakland. The parade starts at the Tassafaronga Recreation Center on 85th Avenue at noon and ends at Acorn Woodland Elementary, 1025 81st Avenue. To get involved, contact our community organizer, Nahanda Imara, at nimara@cvecal.org.
What we've done in this show is sort of opened up a preliminary line of investigation into the issue of the drug war, which obviously is a very complex, you know, transnational issue that will take a lot of discussion to really figure out and tease out the complexities of what's going on both sides of the border. And so we want to consider this as a preliminary step. So if you have any comments or questions, please email us at radiozapatista@gmail.com. We'll try to sort of incorporate your concerns and the questions that you have into our next show. Also, check out our website at radiozapatista.org, where you can find all the shows that we broadcast and more resources about events. So this has been another broadcast of Radio Zapatista. Chiapas no se olvida. Thank you for listening. Gracias por escucharnos. And we hope that you have a great night and that you tune in to listen to us next month.